Good morning, family. Yeah, you knew I was going to do that. Everybody knew I was going to do that, right? Smart aleck guy. Anyway. Well, this is one of those mornings where you get to appreciate the minister that we have on a full-time basis. And we should appreciate him, right? You realize next month, Stephen and Diane will have been with us for 10 years. Does that seem possible? 10 years. At least in my lifetime, I think that's probably the longest tenure of any minister we've ever had here. So I hope that we can all express our appreciation to Stephen and Diane and what's that other guy's name? Carl and Kristen as well for the great work that they do here. All right, do you have your phones with you? You see your phones. All right, now I'm not talking about you technically challenged folks that don't know how to set the alarm on your phone. But for all the rest of us that know how to turn it on and turn it off, right now I'm on Verizon, it's 11:17. What's the 32, right? That's 15 minutes from now. Set your alarm, please, to go off at 11:32. 11:32, and I don't want it on vibrate, right? It's kind of weird, isn't it? So I'm putting the pressure on myself, right? It's going to tell me when I need to start wrapping up, and actually it's more in line with getting you guys to wake up so you can hear my final point. All right, let me read a passage to you here to start with. Uh-oh. Come on. Here we go. Ah. Wow. It's going to get them all at once. Here we go. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now, I don't know what that would have been like, but I think it probably should have gotten the attention of people, right? I mean, think about, if you read Luke's account, it also says in Luke's account that the sun was darkened, even. Right? In the middle of the day. All these things happen. The curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom. There was an earthquake. Rocks split. Bodies of many holy people were resurrected from the dead. And they appeared to many people. I have a lot of questions about that. How long did they live? Did they... No, could they tell people what they had experienced? I don't know. It's not really the point of this lesson. It's just interesting things to think about. But the underlying part there, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, what do you suppose the significance of that was? Well, since I'm the one answering the question, I'll tell you. What was at that time, they were under the law of Moses, and they had this temple, right? The temple, and they had blood sacrifices that they needed to make, the blood of animals that they needed to make on an annual basis. There were other sacrifices too, but on an annual basis, what would they have to do? They would have to go into the temple, and the high priest, once a year, would go into the holy place, or the most holy place, or the holy of holies, whatever you want to call it, and he would offer the sacrifice on behalf of the nation of Israel. The Hebrew writer says that he would offer that sacrifice for sins committed in ignorance. So there was this separation in the temple by this curtain. Right? And this curtain was separating God, because the most holy place was where God dwelt. That's where His presence was in the temple. And it was separating God from man, God from the priest. Only the priest could go into a certain area, but only the high priest could go into the most holy place. And that only once a year. So the fact that the curtain, this veil in the temple, was torn from top to bottom signifies that God did this. Right? This wasn't done by man. Right? It wasn't done by man. It was done by God Himself. What does that signify? Well, the sacrificial system that they were to follow once a year, where they're bringing these animal sacrifices in there, right? The blood from animals into the Holy of Holies, that was to cease. Right? Because Jesus, the Hebrew writer says, Jesus' sacrifice was offered once for all time. The sacrifice annually, the annual reminder of sin, didn't need to happen anymore. Right? And this separation between God and man, God's doing away with. Now, let me ask you this. Did animal sacrifices cease at the crucifixion? Did Jews continue to offer animal sacrifices in the temple after Jesus was crucified? See, a lot of head shaking. It did. They did, and if you do a Google search, which is the only way I know this, because Google is never wrong, is that continued for another 37 years after the death of Christ. 37 years after Christ was crucified, this ritual of going into the Holy of Holies took place once a year. Now, what does that say about the curtain? Did they leave that curtain torn in two? I couldn't find anything, any record of that curtain being restitched. But it had to have been, right? Either restitched or replaced. Right? They put that separation back up there. Of course, the Jewish leaders didn't understand or didn't believe that Jesus was who He said He was. But nonetheless, that curtain was either stitched up, right, to look like what it looked like before, or they replaced it altogether so they could continue with that separation. The passage that Leo read, sorry that was so long, by the way, Leo. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. So by God rending the curtain in the temple, the Hebrew writer is saying that God wants us to draw near to Him, right? That separation between God and man doesn't exist anymore because of Christ's sacrifice, right? We're supposed to, He wants us to draw near to God. Now, it seems a little ironic to me that if we've been baptized, let me see the hands of people who have put Christ on in baptism. Okay? Put them down. Okay, now let me see the hands of people who have committed a sin since then. I don't think any of us could say we've never done that, right? Since we've been in Christ, we've never committed sin. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. How many people doubt their salvation because of that? How many people doubt the fact that, well, I know what I've done since I've become a Christian, so I'm not really exactly sure whether I'm saved or not. Right? The blood of the grace of God continues to continually cleanse us. 1 John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and His blood cleanses us from our sins. Right? We're purified. We can stand before God not because of ourselves, but because of the sacrifice of Christ. And Paul says in Ephesians 3, in verse 12, that we can approach God boldly with confidence through faith in Christ. So, God rends the curtain, right? It illustrates to us that He is opening the doors for us to be faithful to Him. He's opening the doors for us to draw close to Him. And if we've put Christ on in baptism, Acts 2 says the Holy Spirit dwells within us. But here's, I was starting to say this earlier and I interrupted myself. It seems ironic that the Holy Spirit can be dwelling within us, but yet we're so far from God. Can't we be so far from God, even though God is dwelling within us? We have a tendency to want to do what the Jewish leaders did and sew that veil back up, right? We want that separation to be there because, hey, I'm not perfect. But that's not God, that's not what God wants us to do at all. That's not the way He wants us to be at all. He wants us to love Him, and He wants us to draw near to Him with all of our hearts. Not stitch that curtain back up. And keep that separation between us and Him there. Right? He wants us to draw near to Him. He wants us to love Him. Right? If you remember the Matthew 22, Jesus was being tempted. 11:30? Okay. Jesus was being tempted by the Pharisees, right? And one of the lawyers there, it said, asked him a question, what's the greatest command? And what did he say? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You see, God doesn't want us to... He wants us to fear Him in a good way, but He wants us to draw close to Him. He wants to be on the throne of our hearts. Right? He wants us to draw near to Him and love Him with all the fiber of our being. So let me ask you this question. This is where I think we struggle. What does that look like in 2019? We're standing on the top of a cliff looking out, trying to find God, trying to draw near to Him. So, let me try and apply just a little bit of logic to this. So we have 24 hours in a day, right? We have how many hours? Let's just pretend we all get 8 hours of sleep a night. So if my math is correct, 24 minus 8 is 16, right? So we have 16 hours a day. How do we, in those 16 waking hours, draw near to God? Is it just on Sundays that we do this, when we're here together in these walls? There's some magic that happens. Magic's probably not the right word, but there's some draw to us, right? It's great to be together. It's great to praise and worship God together. It's great to encourage each other together. But what about, that's what, 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week? Maybe three? 16 times 7 is, I can't do that math. That's how many hours in a week there are. That's way more than 3 hours. So how do we draw near to God outside of those 3 hours? What does that look like? Well, how many of us, let me see your hands, have a job? How many take God with you on your job? I hope we all do. But how can we get God involved with our jobs? What do we do when we're on the job? Do you ever pray when you're on the job? Do you ever ask God for your guidance? How many teachers do we have in here? We have teachers? I know we have several. How many times have you prayed for your students? How many times have you prayed to be able to reach your students with what it is that you're trying to share with them, whatever it is you're trying to teach? Right? You have opportunities all day long to pray. Now, you don't have to go in a corner and bow your head and, you know, you can pray with your eyes open. Uh-oh. All right, I didn't quite get there. I'm pretty close. I'm just about done. Okay, you can shut them all off. So everybody's awake, right? I hope. How many accountants do we have in here? We have a few. I'm sorry. How in the world can you do that job? Let me ask you this. Corey, have you ever prayed? Jeff, have you ever prayed that God help you count those beans in the right way? I mean, does God really care about what some company's books look like? I don't know if He does, but I know this, He cares about you. Right? How many students do we have in here? Have you ever prayed that God helps you to learn what it is that's being taught, that you can understand what's being taught? Have you ever, I know if you take tests, you probably pray. Right? Have you ever prayed to God on a relatively daily basis to help you understand the needs of the other students that are around you? I mean, there's so many ways that we can reach out to God, right? I'm an IT guy. Right, I've been in IT for 36 years, and I have way too many years to go before I can retire. But does God really care that I can write JavaScript in such a way to accomplish this task that I'm trying? I don't know if He cares about that, but I know He cares about me. Right, so we should feel empowered to I think what Paul was saying in Ephesians 3, that passage we read, and what the Hebrew writer in the passage we read is saying, that we can approach God boldly, right? God maybe doesn't care about the mundane things that we do in our lives. Maybe He does. I don't know. But He cares about us, and He wants us to draw near to Him, right? And we can pray, and we can study, and we can meditate on His Word, right? There are things that we can do to draw near to God. And that's what He wants us to do, right? He doesn't want that veil, that curtain, that separation between us and Him to exist, right? So here's my only point. I have a one-point sermon. Move this up a slide. We like to make resolutions at the end of a new year, at the start of a new year. And so the reason why I wanted the alarms to be set is because I wanted to draw your attention to this one point. Right? That we need in 2020, regardless of your relationship with God, we all have relationship with God in one way or another, but we need to draw our focus on drawing near to Him every day of the week, not just on Sunday. All right, so I want to encourage you to be intentional about drawing near to God in 2020. How you do that, I can't tell you that. All right, but that's my point. That's the lesson, is God has torn the veil. Right? That separation doesn't exist anymore. We are cleansed. We are forgiven. We are freed from the guilt of sin because of His sacrifice, because of Jesus' sacrifice. And so He wants us to love Him with all of our being. He wants that love to permeate all aspects of our lives. And He wants us to draw near to Him. And so that's the lesson. Let's see if we can't, in this coming year, all of us work to draw closer to God. And it's going to help us in all aspects of our lives. We make decisions every day, all the time, right? We have relationships with people all the time. There are so many ways that we can ask for God's guidance and help in our everyday lives that I just want to encourage you to take advantage of that, because God has ripped that veil apart and He wants us to approach Him boldly and confidently with our requests to Him. So that's the lesson. If you have any sort of need that you would like to make known, I'll be standing down here and you can come and I can pray for you. Be happy to do that. If you don't want to do that, grab one of the other shepherds, pull them aside, or just grab a brother or sister and share with them what's on your heart if you need to share something. So at this time, would you please stand, and Jeff will lead us in our final song.
Give us close to Thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious Thou art. Hold me, hold me, close to Thy breast. Shelter me safely, that hand of rest. Shelter me safe in that hand of rest. Hear her still, hear her. Nothing I bring, nought has done all, bring to Jesus my King. Only my sin now contrite heart, grant me Thy cleansing, that blood doth impart. Grant me Thy cleansing, Thy blood doth impart. Hear her still, hear her, Lord, to be Thine. Sin with this body I gladly resign. All of this pleasure's form and His pride, give me Lord Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me, Lord Jesus, my Lord crucified. Near her still. bitter, while life shall last, till safe in glory, my anger is past. Through endless ages, ever to be nearer my Savior, still dearer to thee. Nearer my Savior, still dearer to thee.
Beautiful Lord's Day that you've blessed us with. Father, I thank you for your love for us, for the fact that you've torn down the barrier between us and you through the sacrifice of your Son. Father, help us to never want to stitch that veil back up, that separation back up, but help us to always look to draw closer to you. I pray that you help us to do just that in this coming year, that we can be intentional every day about putting you first on the throne of our hearts and drawing close to you, Father. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for providing for us so much that you've given us. We have so many blessings in Christ. We have so much to look forward to, and we know that none of this is because of our own goodness, but only because of your grace and your mercy. Father, we love you and we want to please you. Please bless us this coming week and this coming year, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.